Well, good evening, folks. Today is the 13th of August, 69. It's 2300 hours. Well, a whole lot happened the last couple of days. I got up 5:30 Monday morning. Did not go to bed or did not get any sleep until 1 o'clock Tuesday afternoon. 30-some-odd hours up without any sleep. And when I did go to sleep yesterday, which was Tuesday, I slept from 1 o'clock until 6 o'clock this morning without waking up except but once, and that was to get under the sheets. 17 hours of sleep. So I done pretty good. Sort of made a little catch up there. And Monday night, we got mortared pretty good this time. Nothing to scare you about, but we did get mortared. I was out on the line running up an aircraft, and when I started coming in, I decided I didn't have enough RPM on the aircraft to take off, so I shut it down. Excuse me. I shut it down, jumped in the line crew truck, and started running toward the company area. Got about half there and decided that I was going the wrong way, because Charlie was throwing mortars in the battalion area, which is about one block to our west, and also the road I was on goes straight into battalion area. I decided not to go there. I couldn't go back the way I started from because mortars were landing to our south. Actually, we were caught in between two attacks. So I decided, well, I'll just go over to maintenance. Ramp. They have a bunker over by the avionics shop. Well, I've missed a turnoff going into the avionics area. Didn't bother me any. I just whipped right out across the sand, goosed a couple of good ones and made it. Jumped out and hauled for the bunker. And they didn't do any damage to the aircraft. The old medevac ship caught a little loose shrapnel. None of our aircraft was damaged during the mortar attack, but on our standby reaction, our two aircraft got shot up a little bit, two slicks. They took five or six, seven ships up, run them over to the Korean Rock Division, which is right next to us, picked up five loads or seven loads of Koreans and run them out in the valley and dropped them off real quick. And they raised some cane with Charles out there. Our gunships had a really good time. If I had any film at the time, I would have taken a few pictures. But I didn't have film. I just finished taking rolls, and I had to wait to get some until I got some today. Last night we went up red alert again, and they threw a few mortar rounds in this general vicinity. None landed over here by the company area. I didn't even get up for it. No one told me. And like I say, I only woke up once, and that was to get under the sheets. So much for the war. Nothing else new. I get up early in the morning, and I got first flight again. And I guess I better sort of hurry it up here and get off to bed. I started this tape, I guess, a couple of weeks ago. Meant to get it off, but I didn't. I got your tape very good and really enjoy that. If you get another tape with the same length of tape on it, but a better quality, 600 feet, and tape all of my albums plus some of my 45s, Mockingbird Hill, etc., you know, some of those I really like, and send them to me, you know, no talking, just taping those. I'd appreciate it very much. And you can put them on one of these 600 foot tapes at 3¾. That would probably play a full hour. Well, yours played a full 2 hours. So, if you want to do that, go ahead. And all my albums should do pretty good on that within about an hour's time. If you can't get one like you sent to me that's a little bit better quality, just go ahead and play it on 3 3/8. 3 1/2, I mean 3 3/4 on a regular tape. Get all the albums you can on it. As far as Sis thinking I enjoyed her 15-20 page letter, that's all right. I didn't. She rattled on. She didn't say nothing but picky-unish things. Like she was trying to write a book. And I didn't bother to read it all. I hit the highlights, and she just kept talking about Johnny said that, and I said this, and stuff like that. Well, I don't care to hear about it. I'm not going to read it. She got something to say and put it on paper already, but just things that don't even pertain to me and don't even suit the subject, I'm just not even going to listen to. I enjoyed this last tape very well, especially Daddy talking and Becky Joe talking quite a bit. I don't know why Mark didn't talk. I guess he feels a little bit slighted, as you say. Oh, well, he'll grow out of that. And if you get this tape before Jim gets home, I'll let him listen to it. And be sure to get him to tape me a tape. I don't care if it's a full tape long. Whatever he has to say, let him put it on there. So that's about all I can say for this time. So I guess I'll just go ahead and close out and try to get this thing off to you in a couple of days, maybe. No telling how long. P.S. If you'll turn the tone control to bass on my tape recorder, on my record player, I think it'll record a lot better on your recorder. And this tape that you sent me did play very well. I really enjoyed it. Some of the songs were just not quite as loud as others. And go ahead and try that. I think it'll work a whole lot better. Something else I intended to say, but I guess I won't get to say it. Oh, I did splice your tape before it broke on me. I don't know if you knew it broke or not, but it broke while I was playing it. So I spliced it together, and it done all right. So we'll see you next time. Good night. Well, good morning, folks. Today is the 19th of August, 69. And today, and the 21st and the 23rd, is the days we're supposed to get wiped off the face of the map, according to the woman that predicted both the Kennedys' deaths and all this rigmarole. I'm not in my room, as I usually am whenever I tape these tapes. I'm down in the maintenance shack now, and just waiting on parts to put in my ship to get it out. So I've got a little bit of time to kill. I've got a locker down here now, keep everything in it that I want to keep down here: cigarettes, tape recorder, pistol, bullets, etc. like that. I live down here most of the time. When I'm not sleeping, I'm down here. Rather enjoy it that way. Sitting around the room is dull and boring, and down here you can read, talk, sleep, whatever you want to do if you feel like it. Or you can go out on the line and work with the men, learn a little bit about the aircraft. First aircraft I'm supposed to put out is a Charlie model. We've had a bunch of trouble with it. I guess today is the 10th or 11th day it's been down here. We've had parts problems with it, and we've also had problems. It was unforeseen inspections that were not found until we were ready to put the aircraft out. But on the whole, we've eliminated most of the problems. Right now we're waiting for a starter generator on it, and maybe we can get one today. I don't know. We're calling our direct support supply group, and coffee's too strong this morning, and seeing if they have a starter generator for us. Hopefully they will. As far as the money you're sending me, I hope that the come all right. You don't have any trouble with it now. Do go ahead and have Dad sign the note. And I'm glad that I've got the amount of money in the credit union that you told me I did. Seemed like it's one of the few things the government has done as far as my pay that was right. You know, since I left boot camp all through flight school, I never had any money held out for bonds. Well, I got that straightened out once I got over here. That's what they told me at Walters to do. I need it straightened out, so they're holding the money out each month for bonds. The raise we got in, started the 1st of July for the whole month of July, amounted something like $25-$30 extra a month for me. So that's pretty good. I enjoy the extra bread. It makes seem like a little more effort over here, a little bit better. Well, I can't seem to rattle on about too much. I guess Jim's home by today. Today's the 19th, and I would like to call him and give him some well wishes, but that's probably won't help any. I'll try to call here, say a week from Saturday if he happens to be home. I'll call, and can't guarantee at what time I'll get through. It'll probably be similar to when I got through the other time. See, these Mars stations don't get connections during the daytime very well. They have to do it at night, and then there's always a large number of people that want to call through. So that makes a difference whenever you've got several people on the line. Some they only have one telephone, and whenever you're talking on the telephone on to whoever is back in the States, they don't have any way of receiving calls coming in. And it works the same way. Whenever people are calling in, giving them numbers to call, it will stop you from talking on the phone. Of course, I imagine they can just hang up, you know, and leave it off the hook until they get the party. They're really in a world of hurt down there. They're trying to get another phone where they can have, you know, at least two phones to help alleviate some problems. But I guess that's neither here nor there. But I will try to call, and hopefully within another 2 or 3 days I'll get this blooming tape off. I told you about last night, it was a week ago, getting hit. Well, we haven't got hit since then. We've had some pretty good little firefights. We had one Wednesday night following the mortar attack, and it was a pretty hot one. The gunnies went out and had a ball, and no one was injured. And we had one fella injured in a slick ship up around Courage. Courage is east of Crystal, and there's a mad sniper up there. We call him, or Sam the Sniper. He likes to shoot at people. He's got a lot of Arvins. There's a base camp right at Courage is a base camp. He gets on a hill about 700 meters away with a high-powered, I guess, scope or a real keen eye, and just sits there and shoots people. They can't see him until he's shot, and he'll get up and wave at them, you know, bebop on into the rocks on the side of this hill. They don't know exactly who the cat is. They figure that it's an ex-village chief that was a VC suspect. And the villagers kicked him out, and I guess, by gosh, it made him mad, and he joined the VC for good. That's some of the problems with working with these people. If you suspect them and where they are or not, then sometimes they turn just hardened VC. For a month here, he wasn't shooting anybody. I guess he must have got a 30-day leave for Hanoi, because I think he won the Sniper's Award of the Month. Anyway, he didn't bug anybody for about a month. And then he started up again. What happened? He shot right between the two windshields on one of our Huey models at the top. Came through and busted the starter generator switch. And a second lieutenant from Crystal was the American advisor on the ship. They were inserting some LERPs. And the bullet creased him on the side of the head. Went back and hit an Arvin in his steel pot, and it bounced off the transmission. It didn't do a whole lot of damage to the aircraft. We replaced the starter generator switch, plugged up the hole, and the lieutenant didn't die. They thought he was in serious condition, but he didn't make it all right. That's the price of war. It really is. Maintenance, we don't ever get too much down here. No thanks for the job you do. It's pretty rough. And I'm learning a lot of the problems and how to alleviate some of them. So I guess I'll close off here. I've run about a third of this tape off, and we'll try to get some on it later on. Good evening, folks. Today is 21st of August, 69. Jimmy's birthday was 2 days ago, and I guess today y'all get to see him. I sure wished I could call home and know for certain that I would get to talk to you all, especially him. I thought about calling some, but I don't know if it'll do any good or not. I imagine Jimmy's all busy getting his blood tests and everything, the last minute arrangements made. I sure hope that I get to call him. He told me he would have 18 days from the 19th, so that means sometime in September he'll be going back. So about the end of this month, I'll try to call. If he's there, I'll talk to him. If he's not, I don't guess I will. But y'all do be sure to get him to take me a few lines. A lot of things have been happening in the last week. Today is Thursday. A couple of days ago, a roommate went down up at On K. Well, about, I guess it's about 7-8 miles east of On K in the On K Pass. He was hovering about 30 feet high. Should have been hovering about 10, and RPM started building. Started losing RPM, and they started spinning. They crashed and burned. Everyone got out of the aircraft without a scratch. I think he got a nick or so when he crawled through a greenhouse. That's the top of the aircraft. Landed on its side, and AC crawled on his side through the top, so everybody and James did too. But they wasn't hurt, no one seriously. I think the Gooks was with them. Corian's with them. Got a little lump on the head, and one of the gunners bumped his knee, and it was sore. Other than that, all right, the aircraft was a total loss. The only thing left of it was a tail boom. And then today we had an aircraft with an engine failure, and Mr. Murphy didn't quite, he's a W1, didn't quite get it on the ground soft enough, and the blade drew back and chopped the tail off. He's had a hard road to hoe in the last, I guess 3 or 4 weeks. About 2 weeks ago, he had one catch on fire with him down POL. I don't know if I told you about it or not, but anyhow, he wasn't hurt any at all. And I think he was in the one that had FOD. Something went through the engine. FOD is foreign object damage, like rocks or wrenches left in the around the engine or anything. Anything that can damage the aircraft engine is called FOD. But he's had a real rough time. He should have put the aircraft down without any damage to it, but he didn't. But everyone walked away with nothing wrong with them. So, as they teach us in the flight school, a successful forced landing is one that you walk away from, no matter what happens to the aircraft. And so this aircraft will probably have a lot of work done to it, and replace the tail boom, the rotors, tail rotor, 90-degree box, degree gearbox, 42-degree gearbox, a lot of the cowlings, transmission, engine. Oh, this is going to be all messed up. A lot of work to be done. But we are hoping they will CONUS evac it. CONUS is Continental United States. And CONUS evac means they take the aircraft back to the States and rework it there. And they'll give us a new ship for it. You know, the one that burned is a Charlie model. And the one that Mr. Murphy went down today is a Charlie model. They're both gunships. I'm checked out to fly gunships now. You have to be checked out at them while you're in maintenance if you fly them. And one of Mr. James, my roommate, was in, was an H model. It burned clear up except for the tailbone. The Charlie model Mr. Murphy was in, it didn't burn clear up, but it ruined the aircraft. Maybe parts of it salvageable. Most all of it, except some of the paneling they'll have to replace, and the engine, of course. And the transmission will have to be inspected, see how bad it is. But they're taking it back to the States to do a lot of work on it. The last few days I've been rather busy. Today is, say, Thursday, and I got to bed last night at 12 o'clock. 48 hours prior, I'd only gotten 2 hours sleep. I didn't get to bed Tuesday night at all. I got up Tuesday morning and worked all day and all night. Went to bed Wednesday morning at 4 o'clock and got up 5:30 for first flight. Got an hour and a half sleep then. And then I worked all day Wednesday, excuse me, worked all day Wednesday. And Wednesday after supper, I laid down and slept about 30 minutes down here. And then I got to bed last night at 12 o'clock, and I slept until 12:30 today. So that makes a week go by real fast when you don't get any sleep. And then you sleep a half a day, and the week's gone. It seemed like just yesterday was when we got martyred, but heck, it wasn't. It was Monday, was a week ago we got martyred. I think that was on the other side of the tape. Since then, we've had a lot of firefights. Not every night, but nearly every night, we'll have somebody report rounds coming in, etc. Koreans monitor our outer perimeter. We have two, an inner perimeter, which is around the company, or closest to the company, an outer perimeter, which enhances this whole Fuhef area that military people are in. That includes Koreans, Proud Americans, which is 6th and 32nd. It's an artillery group. Well, it's not a group, it's probably a brigade or something like that, battalion, something. And it's 268th Battalion, 134th, 180th, 225th, 355th, and 203rd, which is some Hawkeyes, Army Airfield, and further up to the north of us, covers such things as the old 91st Medevac, and some POL and transportation individual unit sizes. Pretty good size area here. That's what our outer perimeter covers, and Koreans go out and they monitor that. And they don't waste no time about shooting. If they see something move, and they just shoot at it. They shoot and ask questions later. It's sort of bad news if you're trying to sneak in, because they're just liable to shoot you. No joke. The night we got martyred, our gunships finally got up and they saw some VC out there, or NVA out there. I imagine it was VC, and they really tore up the place. Two nights later, they started popping, the Koreans started popping flares off, mortar flares. They shoot them out of a gun and they flare up. Our gunships were scrambled. We didn't get hit that night, but imagine we were getting ready for a ground assault and the gunships went up and they saw a bunch of people, just oodles and gobs of people out in these rice paddies with weapons. But, and they were confirmed, the VC. But the battalion old man wouldn't give them clearance to fire on them. Well, that's senseless. Our battalion here messes up the whole bunch. They, I don't know about the old man. He's sort of screwy in the head. He likes a lot of stuff to be desired. But he didn't get the fire on them. They could have probably got all 50 VC then, that night that they saw him, but they wouldn't give him clearance to fire on them. And the gun he saw, they were really mad about that. They thought about resigning or anything. They would just, you know, that's their kicks. Go out and shoot people. And whenever they get a chance to see somebody out in the open, they don't get to, usually you don't see anyone out in the open. You just know they're there, you got reports that's where they're at, and you just go in there and blow the place up. And sometimes you see you people you hit, and most time you don't. Very seldom you ever get some enemy out in the open terrain. You get to, you know, just sit there and play with shooting at him. He'll watch your destruction. But that night they could have had the chance. I think Wednesday was a week ago. That's life. Life and more. As people say, war is all kind of things. I don't know, it's sort of funny. We can't just, you know, just because he's a confirmed VC, don't mean you can shoot at him unless, you know, they really want you to shoot at him, they won't let you. And if you get shot at, you see it's coming from a certain general area, and you figure the village or the area is full of VC, you can't shoot at them unless you see the muzzle flashes or you see the person aiming the rifle at you. What the book says, but and your battalion company commander the same way. But you can say you saw it and let loose, and ain't nothing nobody can do about it. They might try, but usually they won't say much about it. We've been reading in the papers over here about the 8 Green Berets that were being held for murdering supposedly a South Vietnamese. Well, the CIA was in on it. He was one of their agents. He was also a commander for one of the Army units, and he also was working for Hanoi, which is, you know, the North Vietnamese government. And rumors are, and printed in our paper over here, that he was ordered to destroy by the CIA. And so they went ahead and destroyed him. These Green Berets shot him up. But another order, after they had given the order to kill him, had come down. But the people hadn't gotten it. They never did receive the order not to kill him, so they went ahead and killed him. So they're holding, you know, a colonel, majors, a couple of captains, a lieutenant, an warrant officer, and an enlisted man. And something like 5 or 7 cells, individual cells. All they have is a tin roof. Well, I'll tell you right now, it's bad enough if you got a fan on you over here. And you know darn well, in a jail like that, it was awful hot. 5 or 7 feet, you can't even hardly lay down in that. And, boy, I tell you, they suppose, what do the papers say? They've got, some real good lawyers over here covering them, civilian lawyers, and Henry Rezar, or whatever his name is, John Rezar, he used to be, or still is, Department of the Army, Secretary of the Army, or Secretary of Defense, the Secretary of Defense. He's coming over here. He should be over here today or tomorrow. But they're really raising a stink about this. Same way they did with the Pueblo crewmen after they got him back. You know, we're going to court-martial this man? All he's doing is taking orders. And that's really something, you know. You follow orders from the government. And then somebody else gets a different light of the thing, and they put the shaft to you. Like, I tell you what, if they had have gotten the Pueblo crew members and the officer in charge, if they had a court-martialed him and give him a dishonorable discharge, the military would have had one of its largest riots it ever had. Because that man didn't even have these grenades to destroy his equipment. And all secret equipment and files are supposed to have a magnesium grenade right there behind it, or right there by it. All you gotta do is pull the pin, drop it on top of it, and it'll just burn whatever is underneath it up. They showed this to us in boot camp. This grenade don't explode, but you just set it on top of a V8 block or a 6-cylinder block, and in about 30 seconds it'll burn its way clear through that block, and anything else around it catches on fire. If it'll burn through metal, you know, iron, you know doggone well it gets hot. But they didn't have anything to destroy their equipment. But they're still going to, you know, get them, hang them for not destroying the equipment. Well, what? Their fingers. So you're throwing it overboard. It takes time to remove all this equipment. And they had Air Force jets right in the area. They could have intercepted the Koreans coming out there after they, you know, people called for help, but they didn't get it. You know, this kind of thing. The government sends you on a mission, and then you you blow it because you get captured when you're supposed to have coverage, and then the man gets court-martialed for it. Huh, it won't work. But I'm glad everything turned out the way it did, and I didn't get court-martialed. But that's the way things go sometimes. And in these 8 Green Berets, I don't hold anything for the Green Beret. I don't love them or nothing, but they were acting under orders. And you act under orders, and you get hung for it. That's bad news. It really is. Well, it looks like about rattled on here long enough to get this tape run out. So I'll get it sent off to you tonight, hopefully. I've taken some pictures around here. Keep telling you I'm going to send you some, but I don't know if it'll do any good to you. I want to get me a projector, but I don't want to get one until I get get my stereo. I've got some more camera equipment coming in, hopefully in another couple of months. Takes forever and ever to get this. And if you'll get that money to me pretty soon, I'll go ahead and buy my stereo with it. I don't know if I'll bring it home with me after this first tour or not. Don't want to, but I just might do that. Well, next time y'all send me a tape, try to get Jim on it. And it looks like this thing is going to run out now.